more than anything to see proudly plump, fat, meaty, bodacious, curvy, sex-positive women become commonplace as love interests and leads on screen and on film.
Can the lead not be mixed race? Can they not be genderqueer? Can we not make theater about people of color and voices that sound like us?
I created this life for myself. No one helped me, and no one gets to decide whether I live out my life on stage.
720 WGN. What you were just hearing is all from the trailer for a new production from Collaboraction, and it is called Gender Breakdown. Here's the story with it, right? According to a recent study, only 25% of the plays produced in Chicago's 2015 to 2016 theater season had female authors. You already know what I'm going to say about that, right? So here is a group of folks that said, let's just do something about that. So Gender Breakdown is a production that is all about women and a female production team and women on stage and all kind of stuff, telling stories, doing powerful things. And so to discuss that with us, we have with us Erica Vannon, who is the director. We have Brianna Buckley, who is a cast member. And we have Kate Hallbaker-Crone, who is a cast member and dramaturge. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me turn on everybody's microphone. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey there.
Tell me about this project and what led you to it. Whoever would like to start, let's say Kate.
Yeah. Tell us about the project and what led us to it. Well, I guess.
Lots of things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know really where to start. So, Erica.
I can jump in with the origin a little bit.
Just give us a little there.
So, Collaboraction actually gratefully sort of gave us this platform last year in January to do a sketchbook, and we created a piece called Spanx You Very Much, which included 50 female-identifying performers dancing on stage all around the topic of Spanx. Mm-hmm. And after that show, Anthony Mosley was very excited to possibly have us come back and create something larger. And so at the time, the playwright, Danny Bryant, and I, we were participating in the female-identifying one-minute play festival that was coming through Chicago, and we had a social practice dinner with the directors, female-identifying directors and female-identifying playwrights, and we asked the question, what's working in Chicago and what's not working in Chicago? And the we kind of did a whiteboard about it, and the whiteboard around what's working filled up about one page, and the whiteboard around what's not working filled up about four or five pages.
I was going to say, how much time do you have?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it went on and on, and one of the sort of questions that launched this or one of the statements that launched this project was, I want to say it was Chica Ike. I can't remember who said it, but someone said that the ensemble model in Chicago is actually broken, that even though it's sort of what we're known for in Chicago, Steppenwolf and building ensembles to create storefront theater, that they're actually very they're not very inclusive, the ensemble model, because you have, sure, a group of people that get together and they get to create something together. They get to write and direct and act. But if it's starting with basically a white male cisgendered, usually straight men creating these companies, the stories that they tell are not don't often go beyond what that group knows. And so we thought that was interesting. And Collaboraction came back to us and said, here's a whole big slot in our season, make something, which we thought was really kind and generous of them. And so we did. And Danny and I thought, well, the first thing we need to do is find an intersectional cast of female identifying performers and let them make the story. So
for sure,
that's where they can pick up and talk about it, right?
And the show itself is, it's a series of stories, but they're all based on real experiences.
Yeah. So the piece is a devised theater piece in its nature, which basically means there is a core team that has the topic and solidifies the curation of it, and then they get together a group of theater makers. And so when we first entered the rehearsal room, there wasn't a script. And so what Danny and Erica do is what they did is gave our intersectional ensemble, which what an intersectional ensemble means is that we have varying gender expressions. Like, I'm a gender nonconforming individual. You can't see me on the radio, but like I present non-traditionally when it comes to what gender is perceived as being. We also have all kinds of women of color, different cultural backgrounds, different ages, that kind of thing. And so all of those stories in one room, based on the exercises generated by Danny and Erica, brought these personal narratives out of us. And then within, you know, talking to each other and learning about each other, themes and motifs sprung up. There are commonalities amongst what female identified and gender nonconforming people experience. And so, yes, our stories are anchored in the arts and in theater, but what's important about what we're talking about is that folks in all kinds of industries experience what we're talking about on our stage. So when people come to this show, which I really hope you do, I think everybody can get something from it, you will be able to find experiences that happen to you in the corporate world, that happen to you in your church community, that happen wherever groups of people interact with each other. There are stereotypes at work and there are impressions of what it means to interact with certain people. And that often does a disservice to the actual stories and experiences at hand. Generalizations are problematic. And so what this show does is sort of unpacks that in a really accessible way that makes something really uncomfortable to talk about incredibly digestible and relatable, which is something I'm proud of that we put up on this stage, is we took really, you know, a really hot topic and I think produced something not only entertaining in a humor, like there's humor, there's you'll cry a little, you'll laugh a little. We have a hybrid genres.
It's fun too, it's right? Fun. There's parts of it that are actually fun so to fun. Perform.
Yeah.
Right. And that we had someone comment last night about like that I was the one on the front row that was laughing hysterically and then crying, you know, in the next scene.
Yeah. You laugh, you cringe, you cry all in one scene. Yes.
That's good. That's what we wanted. And I like what you're saying about accessibility, right? Because I think so often if we say we need to discuss this topic, mm-hmm. people will kind of go, oh, I know there's a lot to it, or they'll clam up or they'll shut down or they'll, you know, lots of different reactions with that. And, you know, I think often about the role comedy plays in that and the role that art plays in that, you know, especially right now when we're having big conversations. I think we can all agree, no matter how you voted, no matter how your politics lie, there's a lot going on right now. And there's a lot of conversations that we've been having in the last, I don't know, a few months even. I was going to say year, but shorter than that even, that were just things we had not talked about in a very, very long time. So what was that process like of getting the show together and coming up with these themes that you were saying? And, you know, what I have to assume there had to have been a lot of, you know, emotional vulnerability and a lot going on with that.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I'm the type of human that emotions are kind of interesting for. I don't necessarily always want to share those, especially not knowing the space and situation I'm in. But I think one of the biggest things that I even mentioned to Danny while like doing one of our personal sessions was that too many people are afraid to allow others to be uncomfortable because they feel like that is something that is a negative thing, where it's like, it's good for you to feel uncomfortable because that's when you start to understand that, oh crap, red flag in myself, right? So like, what does it say about me that I am the one that's making it seem like they're making me uncomfortable, when all in all, it's usually the other way around, where it's like, hey, actually the actions that you have taken in this manner have made me feel uncomfortable, and you are just uncomfortable with it now being brought up because you just want to hide it. And by not saying those things, it doesn't help. It makes it so that those things keep piling up, right? And then it's like, holy crap, there's all these things we need to talk about. Where do we start? And it's like, well, you need to start by understanding that being uncomfortable is something that is a good thing. It's something that you can work with. And by understanding that you are uncomfortable, that's where you're going to start kind of seeing the things that are wrong in order to change those.
Yeah. I mean, I think culturally, right, we have this aversion to discomfort. We want to, you know, the first sign of a headache, we want that Advil. We don't want to say, maybe I'm sitting weirdly or I'm really stressed out. We just go, I need drugs or whatever, you know. Yeah. We avoid discomfort. And I think that's a really excellent point, that we Plus, I think, too, as women, right, I think there's like this expectation of female behavior that's like going to smooth things out.
You're never allowed to have an off day.
No.
Yeah.
As a woman existing in the world, you can never have an off day. And I think that that's, I don't think that that's okay, because I think that's not a reality. I think that, yes, gender is constantly at play in our society. Sure. Yes, race is constantly at play in our society. But I think that when people stop being afraid of each other and actually listen to each other and sit in their own discomfort, real learning can happen. And until people are ready to listen to somebody's experience that they otherwise have no motivation to be interested in.
Right, like it doesn't benefit them.
It doesn't benefit you from listening or learning from this person, but it will, you know, that's I think where change begins. When you're like, well, why am I not interested? Oh, I'm going to show up to this play and listen to stories that I otherwise never would have encountered, and then start seeing things a little bit differently. Start seeing these narratives in other places, or not seeing them, and asking yourself, well, they did it at this scrappy little theater company in Wicker Park, Bucktown, with, you know, in this tiny theater where we just like blow a crater in the stage. Why can't someone else with so many more resources, so much more publicity, make the effort to create a pipeline for giving these narratives space that aren't usually given space?
Indeed. So we're talking about the production Gender Breakdown. It's going to be at The Vault at Collaboration Studios in the Flatiron Arts Building. That's 1579 North Milwaukee Avenue. It's in Wicker Park. Go to collaboration.org. We are talking with Erica, Brianna, and Kate from that production, all about how it came to be, what is at stake, why it matters, all those things. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we are going to continue this conversation here on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Good with you till 3 o'clock. This hour, we are talking all about the arts, in particular performance arts, and there is a real awesome thing happening over at the Collaboration Studios in the Flatiron Arts Building. That's at 1579 North Milwaukee. You can read all about it. Collaboration, like action and collaboration, had a baby, guys. Collaboration.org, or you can call 312-226-9633. And the show is called Gender Breakdown. Know why? Here's why. Because according to a recent study, only of about a quarter of the plays produced in Chicago's 2015 to 2016 season had female authors. Y'all already know how I feel about that. We gotta not be doing that. So this group of folks got together to make this piece of art with true, absurd, uncomfortable, and gut-punchingly real stories from more than 200 Chicago theater artists. So there's lots of themes. There's lots of stuff. And before the break, we were talking about how some themes emerged despite great diversity and intersectionality within the cast and in the production crew. A lot of universal human themes emerge. So we're here talking with Erica Vannon, who is the director of this here fine production. We're talking with Brianna Buckley, who is a cast member, and Kate Hallbaker-Crone, a cast member and dramaturge, all here hanging out in studio today. Thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
So as we talk about the production and the things that we're taking on, and I'm saying we, because I've just made myself like an honorary
member
of this, because I'm definitely going for sure. I might be super fangirl and be there a lot, but nonetheless, tell me about some of the things in particular that you know, as you're talking about these true stories and these big narratives, what are some of the things we can expect to see on stage in these stories?
Sure. I'm going to lob it your way. Don't worry. So one of the first things that really came out of our initial discussions was we all had a different experience with similar occurrences at school. So one of our sections, we call them tracks. We're not calling them scenes. We call them tracks.
Got it.
Is about undergraduate college experiences, which that's Bree's scene.
Yeah, I came up with that one. Yeah. That was the one that kind of hit close to home the most, I think, in just understanding kind of my own personal stories and struggles of feeling like my who I am as a Black woman not actually being able to see myself right in anything. So like when it comes to school, where it's like, oh, okay, so these are all the fine, wonderful people that you're going to be learning about, and you're like, well, great, we can do Shakespeare all day, but like, where am I? Because that's not written for me, right? So like, where are the stories that are about me? Where are the stories that make my life resonate and that resonate with me, where I can connect to that and go, oh, great, like this is about me, right? This is about my blood and my soil and where I came from. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you don't really see that when you are growing up in a program that is supposed to be there to help better educate you and help you learn about yourself and really tap into those things of being an artist, if that's what you want to do, or being a doctor, if that's what you want to do, right? Like, it kind of doesn't matter what field you're necessarily going in. For me, it was more of just understanding and recognizing that the place that's supposed to uplift me and educate me the most is one of the places that I feel unseen, not heard, where there is no other human or nothing else accessible that I can say that's like me, right? Like, I can see me in that.
Sure. There's another scene that happens that Siobhan Reddy Best is a part of where she talks about Juno Diaz quote.
Yes.
In there not being enough, there not being a reflection of who she is, that she's not seeing enough mirrors around to talk about Bree's point, that there's not enough representation of showing people like Bree, people like Siobhan, people like Kate, people like everyone in our production, that they have enough of representation or people that look like them out in the arts to make them feel like, hey, I can do this too.
Or to piggyback off of that, Siobhan Reddy Best shares this scene with Priya Mohanty, who speaks about speaks about being stereotyped within her race. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, she's seen, but she's cast as a doctor or a celebrity stalker or a terrorist.
Yeah.
And then also because of Priya's age within the theater world, like if you're 30, you're quote unquote past your prime. So Priya's experienced being cast as so many variations of mom.
Mothers, yeah.
Which, you know, motherhood is a beautiful, complicated thing. But when that's all people view women as being, that gets into a generalization that, like I was speaking to earlier, is problematic to generalize folks in that manner. And so we're trying to put up some cultural mirrors and allow folks of color and gender nonconforming folks to actually see themselves represented on stage. And one of them, to keep going, one of my favorite scenes to perform is our audition scene, where we use the language from real audition calls posted online that we all gathered, and we perform a game show concept. And on stage, like, I'm in a vest and a bow tie and I look great. But as I'm performing this scene, none of the calls are for me, which is why I'm the mouthpiece of giving the calls, because I don't answer any of them. None of them are for someone who looks like me. Which it's all, you know, long hair, you know, these fashion descriptions instead of like sexy, right? Great bodies
and all around body image. So it's really all of the descriptors of what makes you, I'm doing air quotes here, female,
right?
That you're looking for. So it's never sort of the you know, a lot of men get breakdowns that are like, he's smart or untouchable
which is ridiculous for a theater or performing organization to call people into their room without giving them any emotional motivation for their audition. How do women even audition when what we're given is you have to wear this outfit?
Yeah.
What? How do I play? How do I play sexy?
Skirt.
How do I play pencil skirt? How do I play high-waisted, umpire-waisted A-line? Right. How do I play
deeply feeling a pencil skirt right
now? Right, right.
Yes.
So,
very, very important point. So, this is happening in Chicago. Go see it. Take people you know to go see it. It is Gender Breakdown, presented at The Vault at Collaboration Studios in the Flatiron Arts Building, 1579 North Milwaukee. It's right there in Wicker Park. Right there, real easy to get to, public transportation, all the good stuff. No excuses. Single tickets are 20 to 30 or 10 to 15 bucks for students, educators, and industry folks. For tickets and info, go to collaboration.org or call 312-226-9633. And I'm going to be tweeting this out, and we'll also put it on the WGN radio page once the podcast of this show is up, so you will not miss it. And what are the dates? It opens...
It opens next Wednesday, which I believe is the 22nd. We're in previews right now, which audiences are also welcome to attend. But I don't believe press is invited until next Wednesday, so our reviews won't start coming out till after then.
Excellent.
So we're already rolling. We're excited. Come see it now.
Come see it tonight, 7:30.
Yeah, 7:30 tonight. And this is also the kind of show, like, yes, we're talking about theater and theater artists at you know, its marketing will relate most strongly to it, but I also encourage educators to come out as well. We've had a lot of teachers in the audience so far that are like, you know, they want us to bring it into a school. Like, it's something that, you know, anybody who is in a relational profession in the corporate world,
gotta see
in
it.
The service industry, you gotta come see it. It's not just for theater people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it runs until March. I just had it in front of me. March 13th, right? Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to get extended. I have a feeling, but nonetheless, Erica Vannon, Brianna Buckley, and Kate Hallbaker Crone, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck on the show, or break a leg. Sorry, didn't mean to say good luck. Break a leg, do all the things, and we will see you from the audience. Thank you so much for being with us today.